It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
And it is Insight without Jack Stogler again. He is probably almost back from Florida now. So he's spent a few weeks down there. Some with family, some with just Jack and Marcia. But they've been down there a while. And I believe he'll be back next year. He'll be back next year, next week. But tonight we have some people from the, we'll just call it the Opera House Committee. And you guys want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Karen Meiring, and I'm the president of the Friends of the Opera House.
I'm Kim Rammel, and I'm secretary of the Opera House Committee.
All right. So they'll be talking to us a little bit about the things that are going on, things that are coming up, how far they are along on progress of the getting things going. And let's just do a real quick little thing of what's your kind of overall goal and of when you're going to be able to have things going and or what you're doing.
Well, my goal is to have two or three small events up there this summer.
Ooh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, we're going to try to figure out a way to turn it into a sort of an open house, getting people up there to look at it and to be interested in it, try to get more people involved and committed to helping us out with it. But it kind of depends on interior structure-wise what we can get done, because right now we're limited. We don't have a restroom upstairs, and we also have orders from Brad Bupp that we cannot have more than 49 people there. So he said 50, but 49 is better.
Okay. So,
but we are going to try to get some small events like going and maybe schedule times for people to come in so that we can get people up there, because it'll be a while before the whole project is finished.
Yeah. Okay. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about, get into lots of details about what is going on, what we're hoping goes on, what has gone on, and all of that. And we'll be back in just a minute or two.
It's Lent and it's time for fish, and Brick Street Tavern has several great seafood choices. We have three great Friday night supper specials. There's our all-you-can-eat breaded pollock for only $8.95, salt egg jumbo shrimp for $10.95, or our baked cod dinner for only $10.95. All specials come with our large salad bar and your choice of potato. And we have two Friday lunch specials, a two-piece breaded pollock dinner with fries and slaw for only $5.25, and our endless soup and salad bar for only $5.95. So for a change of pace and a great meal where you don't have to stand in line to eat, stop in to Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery every Friday during Lent for one of our great specials.
Looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. I'm inviting you to come and see the new Endurance line of litter spreaders from Salford BBI at K&L Tractor. These spreaders are available in pull type and truck mount models and are designed to be the toughest, most durable spreader in the market today. The Endurance wide swath litter spreader is designed with the poultry grower in mind. With Salford BBI's rugged design and construction, you can more efficiently spread your materials, saving you time and money. Come see these remarkable spreaders from Salford BBI today at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
The Fort Recovery Firefighters Association will be serving their annual barbecue chicken dinners on Sunday, April 11th at the Fire Hall. That's right. They'll be serving those great barbecue chicken dinners that we all love. The tickets are pre-sale only, and the dinners are only $8 each and are available from any of the firemen. And be sure to grab a couple of extra dinners for a quick lunch during the week. Get your tickets now, then stop down on Sunday afternoon, April 11th from 4 to 6 and pick up your chicken dinners. Just drive through the alley on the north side of the fire hall and they'll bring them to you. The Fort Recovery Firefighters Chicken Dinners, Sunday, April 11th from 4 to 6. Get your tickets now from any Fort Recovery firefighter.
And we're back on Insight, and we're talking to the Opera House folks. So we have Kim Rammel and Karen Meiring with us. Karen, give us a little bit of a brief history of what's gone on with the about the Amorvilius Opera. How did it get there? How did it get named? What's the deal?
The building itself was built in 1883. We're not sure if the Opera House was functional right then, but it was probably within a year or two. Ida Schneider purchased the land from a relative. She was a Werderman, so she purchased this land from a Werderman. And Doc Adams was the first, James, I believe his first name was the first owner of this. So it was originally called the Adams Opera House. But he died not very long after that, and his wife sold this whole block, I think, belonged to the Adams family. The Adams family. And anyway, Russell Morvilius bought it, I believe, in 1898. And then it was known as the Morvilius Opera House. He was a very influential businessman. He owned a business, a dry goods business in Buckshot Mays, business building there that Dave Kalp owns. And Judy Wood came up. She was cleaning out some things at the church at Christ Chapel. Mm-hmm. She came across some old invoices, and Russell Morvilius's name was on one of them. She showed that to me. So
I said, as the purchaser or as the seller?
I'm not sure, and I'm not sure how they ended up. Maybe he sold material for curtains or something to the church at that time, but Judy's going to donate those two to us as well.
That's awesome.
And Russell Morvilius kept a really, really complete scrapbook of so many things that happened up there. So we have a really good chronological documentation of what happened up there and what kind of things were up there. And we have that all documented on Google Drive available to us, but there are a lot of pictures on the Opera House page. I think it's time we upload a few more in our story there for people to look at. So,
If I remember right, there's dozens already, right?
Yes. There are lots of pictures on there. And then I post a lot all the time.
Yeah.
So,
did you say Ida Schneider?
Ida.
Was she married to Otto Schneider?
Well, Otto Schneider's name is up on the wall.
I peeled off wallpaper yesterday and I found his name everywhere.
Yeah. And I have been up there several times. Last summer, we documented tons of signatures and graffiti and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But on the back wall, we were taking wallpaper off. Nancy Kanapke and Kim and I were up there working on that. And Tracy Evers-Westgardus, and we came across his name on the back wall. So it's likely.
He's up in the balcony, too.
In the balcony. And
he must
think
really like to write his name.
The Schneider family came from Germany and were immigrants, and there were triplets in the family. I think the father had triplets, and I think maybe Otto might have been one of those. I'd have to go back on Ancestry.
Am I remembering correctly that one of the buildings says Schneider? Maybe this one right across the street?
The one right next.
Okay.
Oh, no, maybe you're right. I think it might be down.
Let me see. Here.
North. But there is a Schneider.
That's a Zeringer above the KSC.
Schneider's down this, down toward the library.
Seen it. I just don't look.
Yeah, and Adams, the name is up there also.
Yep.
So it's really interesting looking back at that. And then, of course, Russell's daughter was Faye Morvilius, who trained to become a classical singer and was on the Chautauqua circuit, which was an early precursor to vaudeville.
Mm-hmm.
And she traveled
probably
around.
A little more serious than vaudeville.
Yeah, it started out as actually lecturers and speakers.
Mark Twain, and
a lot of those kind of people were on this. Jennings Bryan and some of those people were on that tour. And then in between the speakers, they wanted to have something lighter to lighten things up a little bit. So they started hiring singers and violinists and all kinds of stuff like that. And so they began to call it. The Chautauqua means awakening. So where people wanted to educate themselves and become enlightened. And so she became a part of that. And then the Lyceum circuit was first with just speakers. Mm-hmm. And then Chautauqua had some entertainment. And then, of course, vaudeville came along and anything goes.
Yeah.
Like the musical.
Yeah. You probably know all the words to that, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
We don't need to sing it, but that's so. And then, how long was the Opera House in general use, or the last? You know, I think toward the end it was occasionally instead of regularly.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because it closed. I think they built the gym, what we called the old gym, which is gone now. I believe that was around 33. And I think 39, the doors closed completely up here. So from 33 on, it probably wasn't used anywhere near as much. And Kim can attest, we've taken off layers of wallpaper. So they intended to upgrade that place and try to stay current. But, you know, didn't have restrooms, didn't have running water, didn't have heat, didn't have air conditioning. So people started doing things in the new gym, which was the old gym that we remember, or the only gym when you and I were in school. So
back in the 1920s.
Yeah. But recently we received, we sent out a letter to former alumni and let them know about this project and ask if they'd like to donate or be a part of it. And we received a letter from James Wagner, who graduated in the mid-40s from Fort Recovery High School. And he sent us a nice 2-page note. And it was so interesting because his father was Charles C. or Charles H.
Charles H.
Charles H. He was a ticket taker at the Opera House.
Oh.
And James said that he had been up there in the mid-40s. So occasionally there were things going on up there. And there was a medicine show up there. And the guy was selling an elixir, a tonic. And probably mostly alcohol.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, he said that he was selling it for $1 a bottle, and a lot of people were buying it. And he remembered. So I probably was alcohol in it. I'm just going to go with that and say there was alcohol in it. But he said that, and his dad was a ticket taker. And then the neat thing about James Wagner is that he worked at the Royal Theater. He was a projectionist.
Oh.
And he wrote a 10 to 12 page paper on it, and he's going to send it to us. So I sent him back a letter today, and I found his name on the Veterans Plaza wall.
Is familiar, and I may just be thinking of Clarence Wagner, but I'm thinking Jim Wagner was also somebody I've heard of in the past, but it's not ringing a bell right now. But Clarence Wagner, if I believe, did lots and lots of concrete work. I think I might be getting that completely wrong, but Clarence Wagner was one of those names I've heard. He had passed away before I was around, or was moved or something. I never met him or saw him, but Clarence Wagner was a name that was put around a lot by the Harold Ranley type of people and Rudy Wendell type of
that
people.
They remembered him,
And,
well, I have some more questions. I actually sealed up. I took some pictures of the murals in downtown, and I thought he would probably love to see this. He's probably not been back to Fort Recovery. So I got it all sealed up, and then I told people on the committee, and they were like, did you ask him this? Did you ask him that? And I'm like, okay, we've got to open that back up again. So he probably knew my mother-in-law, Mary Helen McConaughey Myring.
Yep.
So I've got some questions if he remembers what it looked like as far as seats on the floor. We have no pictures from the interior. We have exterior shots of downtown, but not a lot of interiors.
Yep. That's, part of that was they would have had to do flash because there weren't interior lights till probably 20s, electric lights,
I guess.
And those probably were enough to not trip on stuff and not like what we have now.
It's pretty dim up there now. If you're not up there in the daylight.
Yeah, and that's why, at least I was told, that's why all the windows in the older houses are basically floor to ceiling to let light in. So, because, you know, at night it was gas light, and during the day you had daylight, and that was it.
Yeah.
I was thinking we would do that in about 2 minutes, and it's about 10, and that's perfect. We got everything.
You
got
to shut me up. I was like,
That information is important. Those are things that we want to know about, and I knew a lot about some of that, but a lot of that I hadn't even heard. Some of it was refresher, and some of it was brand new. So where are we now on the Opera House?
Well, let's see.
Well, we just yesterday submitted our application for the National Register of Historic Buildings. So that's been submitted to the Ohio office. So that's a huge accomplishment there to get that submitted. And we're working now on a target of opportunity grant with the county. Is it with Mercer County?
Yeah, it's actually from the federal to the state through the county, through the Office of Economic Development, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And that's going to be huge, because if we get that, that'll really boost the whole project along. It's going to really kickstart it.
Yeah, I know. I can't think of his name now. The county.
Jared Ebbing.
Jared Ebbing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he. I know he likes, you know, industry is a really good thing, and that's good, but he likes to get touristy type of things, too, where people, where there's things going on in places that aren't necessarily putting in jobs and all this, but it brings people in, which they will patronize. Yeah, yeah. They're eating and they're buying. So, and he's very interested in pushing that type of thing. So I know, without being involved in it, and I know he's on our side on that one. He likes that kind of thing.
He's extremely gifted at what he does.
Yes.
From my understanding, when he puts his stamp on a project like this, you are pretty well guaranteed that it's going to be done right, and it's probably going to get approved by the state. So we're
kinda
really
sounds
hoping.
Like Nancy Kanapke.
That's right.
She doesn't get involved
in
much.
She's like a bulldog and just put her on stuff.
Well, and she knows how to speak their language.
Right, so. And that's really important. We've submitted all the stuff that we need to him, a budget of things we'd like to see done, but it'll take care of rewiring the entire building.
That'll be good.
And, and then we'll be able to have safe electrical outlets upstairs and HVAC and air conditioning and heating. Mm-hmm. It'll help with putting in new windows, new roof, all the things that people, when they walk by, will be able to see.
Mm-hmm.
So until that comes into play, we're going to clean up the inside. Mm-hmm. We're working on the walls, getting the wallpaper peeled off and getting it cleaned up so we can have small events.
The wallpaper groups. You're peeling off is just decorative. Regular. Mm-hmm. It's not any of anything
historic.
No. Okay.
And it's turned brown over the years. I mean, it's just completely
peeling
brown
off,
and ugly.
Yeah.
It's hanging off. And that's kind of about the only thing that we can do until we get that kind of stuff going. And there's a lot of interior work that needs to be done, and we have ideas on what to do and how to do it and who to call to get it done. But until you get the exterior stuff, you're just, dust will be flying and all that kind of stuff.
And so we're working on a grant or two.
I guess the next step would be the annex.
That'd
be phase three. That's a big, huge step. That's putting in the elevator system, and that's down the line a ways.
Yeah, we've hired an architectural firm, Freitag and Associates, out of Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
So John and his son Adam are the ones working on this project, and they've already shown us one blueprint of a possible. We need a way to enter it because there's no lobby or any place like that. And we have a lot of things we want to display. I think our committee is, since we're working on this opera house, we've also decided that we want to help promote the history of Fort Recovery as a business district, because there's not a lot of that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Who actually laid out this town and set up businesses and that sort of thing. We all know from the time we're little about the battles and the fort, and all that stuff. But I think we'd like to have a place to display that. But that annex is going to be super, super important because it will house an elevator. And in our opinion, as a group, we've decided that if we can't get elderly, handicapped people up there, that it's not truly a facility for everyone. So that, and it will be, it won't destroy any of the integrity of the original building. It'll be kind of where Mike has his truck parked.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be back in that area. So it'll be its own freestanding two-story building that will be able to it'll be hooked on so that you can access and walk into the opera house itself.
Okay, and that'll have the annex and the elevator entrance. Will it access that stairway in any way, or
we're
are you going to have to change
about that? It's really dangerous. It's 25 steps straight down. There is no landing, and they call it a landing for a reason. Because if you go down and fall 7 or 8 steps and you hit the landing, that's probably where you're going to stop. I could see it now. Somebody went backwards. It could be 25 steps all the way to the bottom.
Yeah.
So It is kind of a neat part of the Opera House, but then again, it's not made out of mahogany or oak or anything like that. It's just old pine. So there's some talk about how to, do we keep it or not?
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. And the only way to access that, I think there's like a little 2 or 3 foot entryway when you first come in.
Yeah.
So you really don't have, you open the door and there's the step.
There's the step.
Yeah,
and you can't get out of the rain. You know, if you have people waiting to come in for an event, they'd have to sit in their cars until the doors open. So we're looking at providing lobby space, possibly in the old Fort Recovery Radio building is kind of what we're looking at now, that could be, because it runs all the way to the back anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, so because, you know, Brad is the same way. We're like, Brad, can you draw something up that what it might look like? And he goes, no, because they don't want it out there, because then if it changes, and it will 3 or 4 times, then people say, well, it doesn't look like what you showed me when I donated my money or whatever. So it will probably change somewhat, but we're gradually, the committee that works on the blueprints with Freitag is gradually coming to consensus where we just throw that idea. It's like, no, that's a crazy idea. We can't do that. So,
but it's not bad to throw crazy ideas out, because that can spark a completely different idea.
I like your thinking.
That's exactly how it's supposed to go.
My husband doesn't think that, but that's the way I think. I like to throw it all out there and maybe generate a new idea off of a really totally crazy idea.
Yeah, because I've seen that happen lots and lots of times, where somebody would just be joking about something. And somebody goes, well, you know, 99% of what you said is stupid, but this over here might be right. And turns out to be, you know, you didn't mean it. You're just throwing stuff out there. But sometimes that works really well.
And you have to, I think that committee in itself is a really fun one. There's just 5 of us, but everything's on the table. We just throw out all kinds of ideas, and no one's afraid to say, that's really weird. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Or somebody will say, hey, you can't do that, but you could do this. So it is a lot of fun to try to come up with the right, you know, answers. I remember when Bob's dad, Bob's grandfather, McConaughey, Bill, was on the committee when they built the old gym.
And I don't think I knew that.
He was on the school board. And he got phone calls, literally, constantly. People stopping him on the street. That thing is too big. Why are we building something that big? I don't know how the man could sleep at night. He was catching so much flack, and then it didn't take very long for that place to be way too small.
It was too small in the early 60s.
Yeah.
When Jim and Harold Shane and Bob Feeley and you know, that group of people
were packing it in.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So, we've talked about some of the things that, some of the past and some of the things that we're trying to get done. Let's take a break and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about funding you have, funding you're probably going to get, funding you hope you can get, how much you think you're going to need, and how people can help with some of that. So let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about some of that stuff in just a minute.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Now's the time to get a great deal on select Kubota subcompact and compact tractors. Our reliable number one selling tractors are designed for easy operation and feature all the performance matched attachments needed to tackle any job. Right now, get zero down and 0% APR for 60 months, plus save up to $1,000. Now through March 31st, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
You say you're hungry? Call Miracle Lanes and avoid the work and hassle of fixing it yourself. 375-4274 is the number you want to call for subs, salads, great sandwiches and sides, and of course their awesome pizza. And don't forget about their pizza wing and salad buffet every Friday at lunch. Do you have a birthday party or other get-together coming up? Give them a call and reserve your lanes now. Miracle Lanes, great food, lots of fun. 375-4274. The Fort Recovery VFW is having their annual fish fry every Friday during Lent. They'll be serving their all-you-can-eat fish from 4:30 to 7:30 for only $8, with sides like baked beans and coleslaw, and coffee is included. You don't have to be a member to go to their fish fry, so head on out to the VFW west of Fort Recovery on State Route 119 for your Friday night Lent supper. Drive-through and carryouts are available in addition to their dine-in buffet. Just $8 for adults and $5 for 10 and under for their all-you-can-eat fish Lent buffet every Friday night during Lent at the VFW.
At the VFW. It cut it off. Sorry. So we're back on Insight, talking with Karen and Kim from the Opera House Committee, is what I'm going to call it for now. And so funding, we said we'd want to talk about funding. What do we have? What do you need? What's the past and future of funding?
Well, if we get the Target of Opportunity grant, that'll be a $250,000 grant, which is a good big chunk that's going to get us rolling. We have to put in some on that as well. Mm-hmm. We'll be putting in around $70,000 on our own. But we first started when we got, in fact, this group's really not been an organization for a while. It was probably last February or March that they first started talking about this. And mm-hmm. when I look back and see how much stuff we've accomplished in just that year, we have gone at warp speed getting things done. But when we first got started, I said, well, why don't we start? We didn't have any money. We didn't have two nickels to rub together. So I said, why don't we start a $20 in 2020 campaign? And so we started that, and we made a good bit of money, probably $6,000 or $7,000 just by people donating 20 bucks at a time. Some people donated 40 or 60, but then we did a patrons program where you can be listed as a patron of the Opera House, mm-hmm. and we'll probably put something in the paper, I would say sometime this late spring, on all the people that have donated and to thank them for that. And then we just sent out the alumni letter, and that's coming in. We made about $4,000 on that so far, and the money is still coming in.
Oh, that's really good.
Fort Recovery alumni who wanted, and not, I don't want to say small amounts, but not huge amounts. So it adds up. You know, somebody giving a $20 or $40 or $50 or $100, it all adds up. I don't think any of them have been much over $100, but it's really been much, much appreciated.
Yeah, and that gets a lot of people feeling ownership,
yes,
and participation. They're part of it,
yeah.
And that's a really, really good thing, because then instead of, well, these three or four people did all of this, everybody did it, and all of those right. little, you know, $20 at a time, $6,000.
Yeah,
that's not going to finish the Opera House, but that's a really good place to start, and lots of people are part of that now.
Yes,
and
yes.
That's really, really, that's really important.
And so many people that are on the committee mm-hmm. donate postage and
yeah.
just different things. So, yeah. you know, that's not very much. I'll just pay for that myself. And mm-hmm. it's kind of our donation to it, too. So yeah. we've got about, I think, 26 or 27 people on the committee now that come to the regular mm-hmm. meetings. Our next meeting, I believe, is April 27th.
27th is a Tuesday. Does that sound right?
It's a Wednesday.
So it'd be 28th, 21st,
or 20th?
Isn't it the 21st?
It's the 21st. Yep. Yeah, everybody that knows me knows I'm date and time challenged. I'm really bad. Numbers mean nothing to me, as my checkbook can attest, which I haven't seen
right?
in like 40 years. Because that's at 6:30.
Okay.
And so anybody that wants to come and hear more about what's going on and mm-hmm. just sit in and listen and give their opinion mm-hmm. about things.
Do you have it upstairs at the Opera House?
It's at the auditoria right now.
Oh, okay.
But I have mm-hmm. a feeling that when the weather breaks, we'll try to hold it up there, because mm-hmm. We have a bunch of wooden chairs up there and tables and stuff like that, so we mm-hmm. can spread out socially there too as well. And then we have, of course, some private benefactors that helped us buy the building and gave us some larger amounts of money. So mm-hmm. we have probably, between the, if we get the Target of Opportunity grant and what we have raised, we're probably looking at well over $500,000. That
wow.
we will raise between that Target grant and what we've raised and what people have donated for the building and that sort of thing. But that's, you know, this is going to be a big project. And I was just amazed to find out how much the Veterans Plaza cost and
yeah.
the Cooper Pavilion and those things. you know, they don't look like they should cost as much as they do.
Yep.
So we don't really have a firm amount now because John Freitag's still working on blueprints mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. A lot of that interior work is not going to be as expensive once the Target grant's done as we think, because that's going to be like a lot of labor. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be a whole lot of materials, like restoring the murals on the walls and things like that. It's not going to be quite as expensive. The annex is the huge push right now. And we do have I don't know whether we want to call it an in honor of or a naming rights campaign that's going to be mm-hmm. fully unleashed on the public here soon. But you know, if you want to honor a family or a family member or a business, there's a way to do that through that donation, and you will have a small plaque in the Opera House somewhere. The stage, mm-hmm. the performance hall itself could be called the Neil Spencer Performance Hall.
Well, that maybe ought to be the balcony or something.
Maybe the ticket booth.
I don't think I should be in the performance part of that. But my name shouldn't be in any performance part of anything.
But it's a great way to recognize a business too, and that sort of thing. So that's kind of where we're looking at maybe getting some of the larger donations to start to come in, so we can really mm-hmm. break ground on that annex. We're getting it surveyed very soon so that we can tear down the lean-to garage back mm-hmm. there and start grading it and making it look, you know, ready. People are going to start to see things happening, and I think that in yes. this community, people, once they see it happen, then they yes. want to really jump on that bandwagon.
Yes, and now with our, and I don't know if you've had anybody talk to you about this, but with our Christmas show that we do, there are people who have said, when my income tax refund comes in, there'll be a check.
And so they pledge it, and
yeah,
then
they don't know, they don't really know, back in Christmas, they have no idea how much it's going to be, but they're mm-hmm. they're pretty sure they're going to get some, and they're pretty sure they're going to get some to the Christmas show. And people could do that also with right. you know, their stimulus check or the
sure.
or part of the stimulus check or their tax refund. And that can be things that, you know, it's technically it's not free money, but it's kind of like free money.
Yeah.
And you weren't really counting on it anyway, so mm-hmm. here it is. Here's a great project. Let's put it there.
What a good idea.
And so that, I know over the, I think we've had one or two people that every year have given us money from their income tax refund since we've done the Christmas show. So, you know, some people intentionally get big checks that, you know, they don't have, they get lots of extra withheld.
So that they can,
so
yeah,
they,
not,
so
not
they get a
any.
Chunk at a time. They, yeah. And then they can do a vacation or a helping something or, mm-hmm. Throwing it in an IRA or saving it up for a down payment on a house or for college or whatever. A lot of people do that on purpose to get a big check, and then they can do things with that.
And that's a good idea, because when we apply for some of these other grants that are out there, when we apply for the grant, we have to have new funds raised. Mm-hmm. So you get accepted into the grant program. They'll give you a period of time. You need to go out and see how much you can raise. If you raise, you know, $100,000 and it's a 4-to-1 match, you know, we'll give you, what, 20, I don't know, there I go again, $25,000.
No.
But anyway, that is something that we don't want the money yet, but we want you to pledge it so that later we can call you and say, we have this grant now. Can you come through with your amount of money? Most of the grants are not 1-to-1. I've only found one that is a 1-to-1 match. Most of them are, you put in most of the money, you get some money from
yeah,
the federal or the state, but
yeah,
it's better than nothing.
Yeah. It's yeah. If you get 4-to-1, that's 25% interest in
that's true.
No time
You're
at all
gonna
in a month.
You're going to get that anywhere.
Yeah, so.
That's for sure.
Anything else you want to cover on funding?
What about you, Kim? You got anything?
As far as funding, I think you've covered it.
Yeah,
pretty well.
I think, you know, if you're interested in finding out what naming rights options are or in honor mm-hmm. of options mm-hmm. are, you can call me or our email address is FRM Opera House. That would be Fort Recovery Marvelous Opera mm-hmm. House at Gmail. So
okay.
they can email me or they can call me, Karen Meyering.
Yeah. Or they can probably message you through the Facebook page
right.
for the Marvelous Opera House.
And we have
House.
Several people that are mm-hmm. contemplating those things. I, for one, am. I'm
yeah.
trying to figure out what I want to do to honor my great-grandmother who played the piano up there.
Oh.
And
which great-grandmother?
Ella Bennett.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep.
Ellie.
I've definitely heard that name.
Oh, yeah.
And now, then, how, this has nothing to do with this, but how is she related to you?
She is my mother's grandmother.
Okay.
Yep. So, yeah. And they lived in the house down there on First Street.
Yep.
But her husband, Jack, was a member of the first band in Fort Recovery.
Oh.
Where all those men, Clark Culp,
yeah.
And all those guys, yeah.
Yeah.
Jack Bennett, he was a drummer in that band. So
I remember that name, too.
Kind of honor them in some way. Haven't figured out what that's going to be yet, but I'd love to see their names up there.
Yes, that'd be awesome. And anybody else that has old neighbors or family members, you know, you can do something in honor of them. So a lot of those names, the families have moved away and you don't ever hear them again. Wagner's are
right, Wagner's,
gone,
yeah.
and Bennett's and even Culp's are gone.
Yeah.
You know, they're not around here anymore. So there's lots and lots of those that it'd be nice to have some way to remember to keep those old 100-year-old Fort Recovery names still on, at least on people's ears, if not tongues.
Yeah. So, and I could take my grandkids up there and say, that was, you know, you're three times great.
Yeah.
But I just walked by the pool the other day and they have all those benches down there and there are a lot of them in honor of so and so. And I was like, that's exactly, there are more new ones all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
And every time you look at it, you see that name and you think of that person.
Yep.
And think, what a neat way to honor someone.
Yeah.
So we will have those opportunities available from smaller amounts to obviously larger amounts as well. But
That's
I'm always amazed at the generosity of Fort Recovery people.
Yes.
I just put something on Facebook the other day and got three donations just that fast, just for asking again.
Yeah.
So it was really nice.
And a lot of people are intending to do that, and then something else comes up, they forget, and then they see it and go, now's the time.
Yeah.
So, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back and talk a little bit more and see what else is in store going on with Morvilius Opera House.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Rammel with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms to factories to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. FortRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
This is the first thing you hear after the power goes out. Silence. But that doesn't last very long. The next thing you hear is complaining, then the inevitable whining. No TV, no power for laptops and tablets. How long do you think their cell phone will last without a recharge? How about your cell phone? Now's the time to call Reasoner Energy and talk about Generac generators. Not only do they operate quietly, a Generac generator from Reasoner will silence complaining and whining. Call 419-678-4858.
Street Market is the place to go every Friday during Lent. They have shrimp or fish dinners hot and ready to go back in their deli. Their shrimp dinners come with 6 pieces of butterfly shrimp and 2 sides for $6.99. Or their famous fish dinners of 3 big pieces of fish and 2 sides for $7.99. Or just get their fish by the pound for $8.99. And you can call ahead at 375-2865 and avoid the wait in line. Let Wayne Street Market be your solution this year for those busy Fridays during Lent.
This is RJ with the Win on the Wabash Super Raffle. Be sure to mark your calendars for this year's event, August 27th and 28th, 2021, to be held at Ambassador Park in Fort Recovery, Ohio. This year's event will feature the Friday night Toe and Go Raffle, as well as the Saturday Super Raffle. We're set to give away up towards $1 million worth of cash and prizes this year. All details can be found on our website, wowraffle.com. Don't miss out on the event of the year, the 2021 WOW Super Raffle, August 27th and 28th in downtown Fort Recovery.
Wow.
On Insight with the Morvilius Opera House people, Karen Myring and Kim Rammel. So, what, as far as space, what are the plans for? Do we know what we're going to do upstairs and downstairs? Upstairs, I'm assuming that you're going to, you know, do as much seating as the building will hold up, I guess, is probably not how many seats literally you can pack in a square feet, but how much will that...
Right. Or the state says.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yeah, 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 yeah. That's, and there's no way we want to start messing with that kind
I'm
of
I'm learning
number.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I know they've talked over the several different times I've been up there and trying to figure out what's going on. At one time, they're thinking they can use upper tier, the balcony stuff. I guess that's what they'd call it, the balcony. I think that used to have two rows, but they're thinking they're not going to be able to do two rows. And somebody has said, well, they're not going to be able to use it at all. And so do we know anything about that yet? Or
According to Brad, he doesn't think that it will get approved. Not for the load necessarily, but just
fire
the railing
stuff. And
none of that's the height. The railing scares me. I don't turn my back on that railing when I'm standing up there, because you take one step backwards with your camera and you're going to go over, because it hits you right below your cheeks, so to speak. And so it's not a standard level. Something about the width of the steps going up.
I think it was probably so low so people could see over it, see what was going on.
Yeah.
So that was, they didn't have code back then.
Yeah.
No, well, people were smart. You know?
Yeah.
Like, if I fell, it was my own stupid fault.
Yeah.
They didn't sue either.
No, they didn't. They weren't sued happy.
So,
it'll probably become a lighting sound area.
Yep.
Because that stuff needs to be protected from little hands and that sort of thing. And if you do put the lighting and the sound on the floor, your controls for that, you're going to eat up precious seating space.
Yep.
So you're going to have to put it on a dice so that it sits up higher. It's a lot of problems. But a lot of those things, you know, we went away from them and then came back around to them again and sprinkle it, don't sprinkle it, sprinkle it, don't sprinkle it.
Yep.
Probably have a sprinkler system.
Yep.
And you won't even be able to see it.
Yeah, there's lots of things that you that until you get started on it and get the money to get going, that you can't even really find out if you can do it till you can start getting actual plans drawn and all that kind of stuff. And then you have to really kind of be into it. And downstairs, outside, what kind of things do you have?
I know we're going to update the outside, do the...
Yeah, you mean the exterior?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the exteriors, I mean, we have plans to tuck point and paint.
Probably add another door.
Offset the entrance the way it used to be, and it was two separate businesses before Mike opened that wall up. That is in the plan now. It makes it a little more viable for commercial space because you could get two businesses in there.
Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about just the part that Mike used mainly, not the little area where Fort Recovery Radio was.
No.
It's always been displayed because that's more or less a separate one.
That's a separate,
So that could be three.
It's separate everything.
Yeah.
That quite likely will be
the entrance
to the lobby / annex entrance, because that building does run back a lot farther than people think. If you look in the window, you think, well, it's so tiny, but it's really, really huge in the back.
Yeah, it goes clear to the back
of the Opera House.
Yeah.
I think slightly, just like 6 inches less or something like that. It's real close.
Yep.
So that's a possibility. But we want to try to get away from the Opera House. It's historical, but the term kind of generates classical music and opera. So I'll let Kim go into... We have so many ideas for what this can be used for, and I'll let her
I think
go
if the first thing you do is have a Rolling Stones concert in there,
that'll permeate everybody. Like, nope, no,
that'll
more
change
opera.
Everybody's perception.
You're talking to a trained opera singer, so I'm kind of like, let's not do too much opera up there. So
I think that first and foremost, that is great. We'll have theater up there, children and adult theater. I think that's wonderful. And that was what I thought when I first heard about it, that that's what it would be. But then once we got talking about it, it's like, this is a multifunctional space. And there's so many possibilities. It's like, we could do business meetings up there. We could have the local businesses have off-training sites, and we could have agricultural meetings and other concerts and recitals through the school, family gatherings, reunions, showers, class reunions. And this is really cool. We could have art exhibits and craft fairs. I mean, we could draw in all kinds of different different events like that, which would be a perfect venue for it, I think. Showers.
And show it off.
Yeah.
To people that wouldn't necessarily go to see some of these other things you mentioned. They might go to that and go, man, this is really something.
While you're on that, Jane Dipple, the artist from Coldwater, came up, and she is going to do a conceptual sketch for us to kind of show us the interior as it would maybe look after it's redone.
Wow.
And so Jane told me that, this is crazy how all these things have worked in a circle, Jim Skizak from the Ohio Arts Council that I've dealt with in the past for Friends of the Arts down at the concerts, mm-hmm. Has been bugging her. There's money for her to do, to rent a venue and do an art exhibit. So I said, Jane, you're going to do this sketch for us for free. Let us host your exhibit up here. So I'm kind of thinking maybe this summer. That might be one of the first things that we try
awesome.
To do. Yeah. To get people up there. It'll be like an open house. Look at the artwork. And she's so talented. She's amazingly talented. But anyway, that
And that,
that
could lead
be.
To like art classes and workshops.
Right.
Yeah. We could have different local artists come in and do workshops. Like senior citizens can meet up there and different clubs.
I'm thinking wine and paint.
Yeah,
you know, the
you
women
go.
Do that kind of thing. Now.
Yeah.
Angie Clark does those, is on our committee. She does those kind of things. So we could maybe tie that in with it too. And maybe even a high school art show along with it. Like have the teacher pick the top 10 artists and then feature them. And then they could be judged by Jane. And it could be really, I mean, there's just so many cultural events that could happen there. That
besides performances.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, because in my head, I'm thinking performances, you know, once a month or whatever it might be. That it can, it doesn't have to be that at all.
I like seasonal event things. I know, like Fort Laramie, the Historical Society, they have a seasonal, like a Christmas.
Yeah,
they
Christmas
have meal.
Dinner. Yeah,
yeah. I can see that, like a Christmas thing where we do like in costume.
Well, I made a whole list of like jazz in January. You know, so you could have wine and jazz, and in February it could be a romantic evening. You know, with music and bring up your honey up there and have. Again, wine. It always involves alcohol or something. But anyway, it sounds like so much fun. But, you know, you could do March. You could have Celtic music, green beer.
I think the possibilities are endless.
They're endless. And she's got tons more on that list.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is. It's, I don't.
Can't wait till we can do our first silent movie up there.
Yeah.
Because that is a thing. And you can, I know someone we can hire to come up here and play the piano. And there used to be scripts, actual musical scores for these things, and you purchased if you wanted to watch The Phantom of the Opera, the old silent movie, you could buy it. I think you still can. It's kind of pricey. But anyway, this lady does, she updates and she just uses more modern music, and so it's almost an inside joke.
You know,
like if they kiss, then she plays the theme from Love Story and you know, just silly funny stuff like that. And I just think that would be, and you could even do like in December, you could show It's a Wonderful Life and some of the older movies like that. And they're just, I don't know. What else is on your list there?
I think we hit them all.
We missed,
I think we.
Yeah. And, you know, when I first, I taught in the elementary, the new building. And that auditorium was booked a lot. It was so hard for me to get in there the week of my show to have it for the whole week. You know, there was, there's somebody coming in on Monday nights. They always come in every, you know, first Monday. And I'm like, okay. So this could be fully dedicated to, if you wanted to have children's theater, that's where they would rehearse. You don't have to call anybody and say,
you know,
can I get that facility to do that? And we do have a lot of small facilities around for certain things, but there's always a need for more space and more meeting space.
So, kind of wrapping up, what are you thinking? What are we optimistic? I think that's
can't
been,
turn back now.
We are totally optimistic.
We're totally optimistic.
Yeah, and it sounds like things are, there's momentum going the good way.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
you got a lot of passionate people on this committee. I think that's the number one thing. And, you know, in the morning when I wake up, I'm like, yes, we can do this. And then at night when I lay in bed, I go like, what did I get myself into? But, you know, if you kind of just tell yourself there's no other option, this, I think, when we're going to put some signs up very soon outside that are going to be kind of inspirational for people to look at and go, wow, this is really going to happen. Because this has been, they've been trying to fix that up since the 60s.
Yeah.
And somebody would get the idea, they talk about it, they put it out there, and it would go like for a little while, and then everybody goes, oh my gosh, it's such a huge job, we can't do it.
And I remember back 10 or 15 years ago, Marianne Olding and Joan Kalp, don't know her last name now, came up, and they were bound and determined to get that going, but there wasn't any grant money. There was nothing. There was they couldn't. It all would have had to been raised locally, and the number sticks in my head was $2.2 million. It was some crazy number because they weren't allowed to do anything until they shored up the floors, put a elevator in, mm-hmm. and you know, all of this stuff and all. Yep. But I think the man that we have kind of helping us now has figured out that. All of that doesn't necessarily have to be done, and he knows how to do grant money, and he's overseen or at least been involved in a number of projects that were harder than this.
Yeah.
So, or at least in worse shape. I don't know if it's harder or don't know how much money they needed money-wise, but I know he said this is in either the best shape or nearly the best mm-hmm. shape of any of them he's been involved with.
Pretty amazing. Yes.
And the stuff that those pictures he showed us of what he's been involved in, they're like brand new. It's
yeah.
beautiful.
And, you know, we're at a critical point. Over the years, it's, you know, let's try to fix it up, and it didn't happen. And then we try it again, I think, during the sesquicentennial. Every time mm-hmm. we had another 25-year celebration mm-hmm. here, it became a topic. And if we don't do this now, it's going to fall
yeah.
completely apart. It's
yep.
just not gonna yep. it's not gonna be able to be saved.
Yep.
So there are a lot of things that, you know, and there's still like the ceiling is gonna have to probably be redone. It'll look just like the old one,
mm-hmm.
but it won't be the old one. It'll have all the same colors and the design, and everything will be the same because, you know, you got 130-year-old plaster.
Yeah.
If I did my numbers right, pretty close. And, you know, they're just big chunks of it that are falling. Things are falling off the walls
right
now. Then we've got one mural that we don't even know what it looks like because it just keeps falling
yep.
away. So if it doesn't get done now with this group of people, and the enthusiasm level that we have, it's doomed. So, you know, there's just, like I said, there's no turning back. We're going to do it. It may not be as elaborate and perfect as we want, and maybe the annex won't happen for a little while.
Yep.
But if we can get it going so that we can have some events up there.
Yep. And if people see
it, when you use
yeah,
it,
yeah.
they'll be on board.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
my motto.
And, you know, people will make a commitment to it. And especially when they know that there are, would you say, 23 people yeah. that aren't going to let this go?
No,
they're not. They're not saying we're.
No,
it's not going to. It's not going to end in no.
You ever tried to water ski, Neil?
No.
Do you water ski, Kim?
I used to.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, you know what that's like when you're learning to water ski
over and over and over,
and you're just too stupid to let go of the rope, and you haven't gotten up. No, it ain't going to happen. You can't think, I can pull this out. I can do it. They're like, let go of the rope.
You know, whenever
we're not letting go.
Whenever I doubt, I think, oh gosh, this project we're kind of nuts. I just go up there and look at it.
Yep.
I
it
just
has
go
to
up
get
there
done.
And go,
takes your breath away.
It has to
get done.
If you see Facebook, when we had Jane up there looking at some of the murals on the walls, because that's what we're kind of taking the wallpaper off now, we've gotten some expert art advice on how to do that, and it's pretty much what you do at home, spray it and
yeah.
scrape it gently. But anyway, she goes, oh, look at his Ascot pin, one of the guys in the mural.
Oh, yeah, I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's a polo player on a polo pony. And I looked at that thing dozens of times and never realized that that's what that was on there. And so now I'm looking at all these tiny, tiny details in there. There's a man with a ring, and it looks like they put little highlights in it, so it looks like it's sparkling.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so cool.
Yeah.
And I envision who painted that. Someone had so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because some of the faces are just fun.
Yeah.
The bushy eyebrows.
Yeah. And yeah. The guy with the binoculars and his eyebrows are hanging over the top of the binoculars.
Oh,
yeah. That's
yeah.
funny. Yeah, he had a sense of humor. So it really is a just kind of indicative. Now, when it's done, and if we put everything back the way it is, it's an eyeful, because there's
yeah.
paint. There's it's literally paint everywhere. They have yeah. painted everything
hand
everywhere.
Painted.
Yeah.
All that design was hand-painted. Yeah. Someone yeah. went up there and just drew it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And when
it
I
is.
See pictures of other opera houses across the country, there is nothing like this. I have not yeah. seen anything that has actual portraits on the walls.
And somebody somewhere in time decided that's what's going to be here, and it's going to be unique. We don't have any idea who that person was, but somebody or some sets of bodies decided this isn't going to be a really nice opera house. This is going to be a really nice opera house.
And some other communities came over here and used it that had their own opera houses. But this was the biggest stage around.
Oh.
So it's not even really big. Yeah. But the one that I saw in the Delphi Opera House that I sent the link out from, this Wagner, he said there's one in Lafayette. So we're thinking field trip. So we may go down there and maybe look him up and say hi. But yeah. I looked at that one. And if you look at it, where the apron of the stage is like the little part that comes out in the front, up in front of the natural curtain line. In the old picture of it, that's all the wider the stage was. So they knocked walls out to make that stage bigger. Now, we're not going to do a lot of
modification to the stage.
Yeah, we're going to keep things as much as possible. And there's always that fine line that you have a little bit of a trade-off. I always tell them, you got to break some eggs to get an omelet. So, you know, there's some things we're going to have to say, we're just going to have to redo it, reimagine it, or whatever. You know, try to keep as much as you can. The, actually, the wood is not expensive wood that's been used in it.
Yeah.
It's cheap pine. And they took a tool, like a theatrical tool, and they drug it through the paint and made it look like grain. Made it look like oak. So on close, and that art expert pointed that out. I'm like, you're right. That's faux painting.
Yeah.
So they did some original faux painting
in there.
Very
creative.
Yeah. It was very creative. And it looks like they might have even used on the balcony going upstairs. It might have been an old barn, an old building that was torn down because it's gray underneath. So they might have repurposed and reused a lot of things up there, too.
That's great.
So they made it look fancy, but...
We've learned a lot tonight, even though this is about the 14th time you guys have been on, and I learn a lot every time.
I'm going to have to go out and brush up if I'm going to come back. I'm running out of things to say.
Well, or you can just sneak in and just pop your head in sometime and say, yep, we got that grant, if you just want to do that.
Oh, would love to.
If it's a little while longer, you know, most of the stuff, a lot of the stuff you've said before and I'd forgotten, or you've done that and added to it, and so we got to learn a lot. Kim, thanks for coming. Karen, thanks for coming in. We really appreciate you coming in, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Rocker. I don't know if he has a rant or a top 10 or what he's going to do
gonna
here.
He's going to sing his favorite operatic selections.
Which would?
Be Cats. Be Cats.
Cats is really not opera. But
it is the way you do it.
He's right. It really is not.
We'll be back with some Rocker in just a little bit.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Are you looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions, as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials for only $5.25. Starting at 11 Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Tenderloin Basket on Thursdays, and on Friday you can choose from our Soup and Salad Bar or our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger basket. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including a New York strip steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented by our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
Here are the baseball and softball games coming up this week. Tomorrow, the Lady Indians will travel to South Adams to take on the Lady Starfires. On Friday, they'll have their home opener hosting Mississinewa Valley, and you can hear the game live on Fort Recovery Radio with Joe Ranley and Joe Kanapke. It can be heard by going to our Fort Recovery Radio website and clicking on Sports Stream 2. On Saturday, the girls will host Lima Bath at 1 p.m. Then at 2, the boys will host the Always Tough Crestview Knights. Bob and Dave will bring you all of that action live. Softball and baseball this week. Get out to as many games as you can this year, but if you just can't get there in person, you can hear most of the games live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Sorry.
Jumped the gun there, Neil.
I don't know what I did there, but that was our outro, which we didn't want to have yet. So we have Rocker here. And so, Rocker, what do we have going on?
We're going to do just a short rant.
A rant. You're allowed to do a long rant.
I want to talk about the San Diego teachers deciding to teach some migrant children who are not technically COVID cleared.
Oh.
Over the kids who are at home. And their parents are paying tax dollar money for the teachers.
So are you saying that the teachers aren't teaching our kids?
But they're teaching the migrant children over.
So the American kids in San Diego aren't going to school at all?
Well, not at the moment, no. Now, the teachers are claiming that they are in spring break, and that's their excuse.
Oh, well, that might not be a bad idea, but if they're on spring break and they want to do that, they're doing it for a week or two, and then I don't know if that's going to really help anybody to teach them for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I
just seems goofy, like you said.
Well, but, you know, it's what we got rolling around these days.
Yep. Yep, I don't like that. So,
and my other slight rant would be, okay, he puts the vice president in charge of this border crisis,
mm-hmm.
and yet she refuses to go down there to see what's going on.
Well, maybe she has good spies telling her what's going on.
Your candy butt better be down there looking things over. I mean, you have one job to do other than look pretty.
Hmm. Well, and, yeah.
Because Joey ain't getting it done. He ain't looking pretty.
No, he's a handsome man. He got hair
in
plugs.
In 1959.
A couple of dozen years ago. He got hair plugs, and he's looking pretty good.
Hair plugs?
He got something because he was bald 30 years ago. Now he's not.
What's on Sports Talk tonight, Bubba?
Baseball.
I like baseball.
Baseball's about time.
Baseball.
Not yet. So you all...
I believe I'm going to hand it over to Bubba so they can get it on...
Alrighty.
For once on time.
Yep. Well, we'll take a little break here. Be back in just a little bit with Sports Talk.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.